girls.
Thing, sexy thing, you. You sexy thing.
Coming up on TMS, going proactive.
Farewell to a friend.
Brian makes joke.
The hell happened last night.
Lots of hell happened last night. Winners and stuff.
Egg roll right into jail.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Oh, oh,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
No, John, no.
I'll drive.
Okay.
You are listening to Adele Dazeem.
I believe that was the second most famous flub at the Oscars. Until yesterday.
Unless you count the whole Marissa Tomei conspiracy. There's people who think
I missed that. Tell me about it. What happened there?
Well, there's people who think that Marissa Tomei's name was not on the card, and that somebody else's name was on the card, and that she did not get the Oscar for My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, from back in the day. I didn't know that.
Back in the day, yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe something happened last night. Okay, so I have a confession to make right up top here.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the Oscars.
No, well, it's not a big confession. I mean, you know, I'm into it.
I meant to watch it. I meant to watch it. Like, that's the thing, is I actually wanted to watch it. Let me explain. Here's how yesterday went for me. And we'll talk. Don't worry, guys. In the news today, we got plenty of Oscar talk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll talk about it. Don't worry.
Including the greatest moment Ned Beatty ever spent on a microphone. Okay.
You mean Warren Beatty, but
Warren Beatty, not Ned Beatty.
To get names wrong today.
I wish it was Ned Beatty. If it was Ned Beatty, it'd be the greatest thing ever.
We'll talk about that. Because it really wasn't even Warren Beatty, but...
No, it wasn't really his fault. But the way he was looking in that envelope, I have questions about it. So we'll get to all that.
Okay.
All right, so my day yesterday was nuts. I had a bunch of stuff in the morning, bunch of stuff in the mid-afternoon, and then at 3 o'clock... Oh, no, no, sorry. At 5 o'clock... No, no, sorry. 3 o'clock, we had a funeral procession / memorial in World of Warcraft for Ralph.
Yeah, I wish, and I didn't hear about it until it was all over. I'm really bummed. I guess I was just offline or missed tweets or whatever.
Yeah, the only way I found out was the tweets. The council had been working on this, and they just started, you know, posting social media or something on the day before, and I kept thinking to myself, who's going to miss this? Who's going to miss this? And then by the time it all got started, as I barely made it on time, I was like, oh, Brian's not here. Shoot. I did bring you up, though. I can't remember what I said, though. I said something. I said on behalf of Brian Ibbett.
Did anybody let Brian know?
I think it was something about how he was always there on TMS streams and always had great questions and all that stuff. And so I made some comment about it on behalf of Brian and I, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it was really, really nice. And for those not in the know and who aren't familiar with that, he was not only a longstanding member and leader of our guild in World of Warcraft and beyond, but just one of the best internet friends you could have. And he died suddenly last week, and we've talked about it on the show a little bit. So I don't want to get too deep into that again and cost us another time to spend with what's his name, who listens to the show only when we talk
Bob
about
Patterson.
Bob Patterson. Yeah. But anyway,
Bob listens to when he tunes out of us. Like, is he listening to This American Life, or
think he just goes la 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 la, can't hear you.
That's right,
like that maybe. Yeah. I don't know, but anyway, it was really, really nice, and it was good to see everyone there, and I kind of needed it. I needed the catharsis of it because I have not been dealing with this particular loss very well. He was really the heart of the guild, and it's not going to be easy to move on without him, but we will, and it was great. So that happened. So that was really crazy, and that went right up to 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So 2 hours of that, which was great, but I had right at 5 planned, actually in the honor of Ralph, okay? And this is not me tooting my horn, people. This is not a horn I want to toot. I would rather not toot this horn, but I'm gonna talk about it because I think it's a good thing to do, and other people should be doing this. Okay. In this time of turmoil, disagreement, all that stuff, you know, where it's a fairly contemptuous time in I think certainly in American history, certainly. I can't speak for the world, but certainly here it is.
Everybody's on edge.
A little bit on edge. Everybody's a little defensive. Everybody's a little bit back and forth, you know, all that stuff. And so I decided that I wanted to do something to help a little bit. So these two kids, I don't want to give their names, and I also don't want to make this sound like it's super negative or they're you know, way high on the scale or anything, but these kids both suffer from various forms of autism. They're on the scale somewhere. And these are kids that I really like. They're in our neighborhood. They're super cool, big nerds, Pokemon players, and just nerds to the nerd degree, right? But right, in all the right ways, and they're just sweet kids and just wonderful kids. And one's 10, one's 11, or one's 10, one's 12. I forget now. I think maybe they're 10 and 11.
You know what you're doing. You're training them so that you can take them to Vegas to count cards.
Oh, my gosh. I hadn't even thought about that. Charlie Babbitt, I can drive. I'm a good driver. All right. So they're awesome. But they get picked on all the time. One of them just moved here and is having a hard time fitting in generally. Both of them just have a hard time socially. It's just one of their things. And other kids are mean. Kids are weenies. Kids are jerks to these kids. And it upsets me. So Nick and I put our heads together and said, why don't we have these boys over Sunday night and play video games and eat pizza and drink, you know, caffeinated beverages and like, give them a good time? Just those two. Not a huge party, not a bunch of other kids. Just the two nerds I'm worried about, me and Nicholas, my son, and we'll just play whatever comes to mind. We played Nidhogg. We played some kind of, I forgot, motorcycle deal. I forgot what the game was. A whole bunch of games, Towerfall, a bunch of PS4 stuff. Ate pizza like a bunch of freaks because we were starving. And had a great time. We did that till probably 7:45 or something.
Oh, super cool.
And it was great. And those kids, I'll tell you this. You can say what you want about, you know, if you're on the side of I like bullying nerds, great, whatever. I don't want anything to do with you. Or if you're on the side of, you know, everybody should be nice to everybody. Wherever you're at, it doesn't matter because in the end of the day, what really struck me last night is these two are insane Nidhogg players. And I don't know if you've ever played Nidhogg, Brian.
I've never played Nidhogg. I don't even know what Nidhogg is. I'm looking it up right now.
It's this weird two-dimensional looking retro-inspired game. It's a modern game, though. Someone made it recently.
Sure.
For PS4, PC, it's sort of all over the place. And it's just you and another character. You look like Atari 2600 style characters. And you have in your hands a sword. And your job is to stab one another and then run past and get to the other end of the level. And if he stabs you, he runs to this side. And there's multiple screens. And you can throw your sword. You can duck. You can trip. You can jump over each other. There are obstacles in the way sometimes. It's trippy and weird. It is so much fun.
And then as soon as one of them dies, then you just run to the right and there's a new guy over there.
Yeah, and then the new guy is the other player again.
Yeah.
But he has to defend himself and then try to get the sword, you know, try to get the momentum back.
You know, for 8-bit graphics, I'm looking at gameplay footage right now. I mean, it's really good graphics.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Way better than Atari
movement
and stuff. But yeah, I see what you mean. Like, it's very... Oh, jeez.
It's really
a big
brutal,
pink
too.
Moray eel just came down. And
oh, yeah. When you get to the end of the level, a giant unicorn eel has a unicorn horn on it, comes swooping out of the sky and eats you as the winner, which makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, these kids picked it up. They'd never seen it, either of them. Picked it up like it was nothing, like riding a bike. And they murdered Nick and I, just out and out murdered us, flattened us. So all I'm saying is, fine, you want to be a bully at school and be a turd? That's one thing. But sit down in front of a TV and let's have a fair match between these kids and you playing Nidhogg? My money is on these kids because they were insane. Sure. Oh my gosh, they were good. So anyway, they're good kids.
That's
and
so cool.
They're both, I'm going to call them, they both have short, I'm going to give them the shortened name of their names, but neither of them are the same name. But you can say the word Cam and they both answer to it because both of their names start with Cam but end in something else.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So like, I have guesses, but I'm not going to guess.
Yeah, I don't want their parents going, hey, you're talking about my son.
One of them is Camtasia.
Yeah, Camtasia. There you go. He's got a nice piece of software going.
Popular Windows video capture software, Camtasia.
There you go. anyway, they were awesome. A huge thanks to those kids because they made my night better and made me happy. And that's the kind of thing Ralph would have done. And so we sort of did all that in his name.
Aww,
all right. Cool. So Oscars happened last night. And Brian, you played a little joke on your friend.
I did. So every year we have our friends Kathy and Scott over to Oscar night. We cook a dinner. We fill out Oscar ballots and then we sit there and then the winner gets, I usually go out and I pick up a movie soundtrack, and this time I picked up La La Land.
Yeah.
I should double check that and make sure I did get La La Land, but,
did you get the Moonlight? Did you get the Moonlight soundtrack by accident?
Right. I might have done that. Yeah. Or it's the La La Land case, but it's the Moonlight disc inside. So I decided, and our friend Kathy is super, super into it. She, her, and I am not at all exaggerating, and if there's anybody out there who can help make this happen, one of the items on her bucket list, like dream thing to happen one year,
yeah,
is to be a seat filler at the Oscars. Mm. She wants to dress up real nice, and then when, you know, Emma Stone gets up to go to the bathroom, somebody taps her on the shoulder, she runs in and fills Emma Stone's seat so that when they come back from commercial, there's not a whole bunch of empty seats, like, you know, coming back from a break.
Yeah.
That's what they right. get seat fillers for. So
sure.
her dream is to be a seat filler. But so like she's super into it. She knows all the stars and she knows all the movies. And like us, she tries to go see every movie in the best picture category. So I created what's in my hand here, an Oscar ballot that looked exactly like all the rest of our Oscar ballots with a few changes.
Yeah.
And they're minor ones at first, and then they kind of get, as you go further and further through this thing, they get a little bit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Best Picture includes Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge. You scroll down, you get to Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay.
all the, because basically I know that she loved La La Land, so she would just hone in on La La Land for Best Picture and not look at the rest of
them. She wouldn't even notice the other stuff.
Wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
Best Director, I changed all the names around. And by the way, I talked about this on the Facebook Tadpole group and got some suggestions from them. One of them was to switch around all the directors. Keep the movies the same, but switch all the directors around. Then you get to Best Animated Feature Film, and you've got stuff like Kubo and the Two Strings, Moana, Can't Beat the Mouse, Why Even Bother, and Zootopia.
Okay.
all the nominees for foreign film are different language variations of I don't speak English. So it's I don't speak English, USA, Mike Jones. No habla inglés, Mexico, Jose Jones. Ne se parle anglais, France. France Walker.
That's amazing. I would have totally fallen for that. I would have had no idea.
It all seemed to go really well until they got to a brand new category I created, best sequel or remake.
Okay.
Which is not an Oscar category. And the three nominees were Ghostbusters, Answer the Call, Star Trek Beyond, and Batman v Superman. And I'll have you look, you know, the people who are watching right now can see that they actually did go so far as to check Star Trek Beyond. But that's the point at which they started asking questions about this.
Wow.
And they didn't even get to Best Production Design, including, or Best Film Editing, including Hell or High Water by Joey Image.
Former wrestler, now astute.
Best costume design. I changed out all of the names, so kept the movies but changed all the names to Colleen Atwood.
Nice.
Colleen Atwood, so she was listed for
that's amazing.
Costume designer for all those.
So tell me the end result of this. She got it.
Yeah.
Did she start, how'd she respond?
Well, actually, she didn't even get it. This is the best part.
All right.
Is that Tina and I were both in on this. We was like, all right, we got to make sure she gets this one. Like, okay, cool.
Okay.
So she comes in, we hug, we're, you know, talking about dinner and stuff like that. And I said, well, I'm wrapping up dinner, so why don't you guys go into your Oscar ballots? And I grab the stack of them and I hand her the one on top, which is the bogus one, and then hand Scott the other one. And Tina and I have already filled ours out. And so she takes it and she, you know, she's about to do it. And they brought over their son, Owen, who was playing and chasing the dogs and stuff like that. And like, Owen, hold on a second. And she sets hers down and sets a car that Owen was playing on top of it. Then she goes and chases the kid for a second, comes back. But by that time, her husband, Scott, has picked up the bogus one and has started filling it out.
Yeah.
And I look at Tina, I'm like, I kind of shrug and say, well, I guess the joke will be on him. So, he ended up being the one who got it. And again, didn't start asking questions until best sequel or remake came up. And then he filled that one out and said, is that a new category? And I started laughing and said, yeah, I think it is. And then he got back up to best picture, saw Mad Max and said, yeah, this is the wrong thing.
I just say, for the record, Mad Max deserves to be on the 2017 best picture.
Oh, people out there shouting, Brian, why did you even bring that up?
Yeah, and it can be on that list for the next 7 years. It's fine with me. All right, well, that's nice. I like your... It's a complex joke. Brian doesn't just like put a whoopee cushion under your butt.
Oh, no.
He goes all out.
I satin line the whoopee cushion so that it looks like a pillow, and then you...
Yeah. Ashton Kutcher's like, whoa, should I have been the host of Punk'd? I think I shouldn't have been the host of Punk'd after all. I think it should have been Funny Hat Man from the podcast world.
Exactly.
I want to say a big congratulations. I totally forgot about this mention. Saturday, we did the Heroes Charity Brawl for Heroes of the Storm and a bunch of shows who make shows for that, including us, of course, so me, John, and Bo, plus... we had Lords of the Storm there. We had BlizzPro's show on there. We had a bunch of dudes from different shows. And it's a great community of people who are always interested in kind of working together and having like fun projects together and that sort of thing. Unlike the early World of Warcraft podcast days, that was some infighty, weird drama business for me back then. There were a lot of people who wanted to kill each other. I don't know why that was
really
so weird.
Want to watch the world burn.
It really did. But it, for whatever reason, the Heroes community is just really friendly and very collaborative and all that. And it was great. And we had a really good time. Here's the best part. We had a modest goal of $3,000 this year. Last year, we did just under that. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, we want to be conservative. Let's see how this goes. It all goes to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And we streamed for like 4.5 hours, played a bunch of crazy games with weird rules. Mm-hmm. And earned, we blew past it. We went well over 500 or 5,000. We are thrilled with that. Big donations to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And I wanted to thank everybody again. It was awesome. There's VODs and clips and stuff of that up. There were some very funny moments. And hats off to both Ryan Reeder and Bo, who kind of did most of the organization behind this, and they killed it. So good job, guys.
That's so cool. See, you guys know how to do it right. Number one, you don't do 24 hours.
No.
And number two, you do it as a group. So, mm-hmm. You know, somebody could go to the bathroom for a few minutes and
I had to get up and pee.
Not have to miss some of the marathon.
Exactly. So I let them do it, but it worked out great. And thanks everybody for coming. We were, I don't know, like 1,000 viewers most of the time. We had a lot of support and help from Blizzard and some prizes. We gave away a bunch of codes for character packs and stuff. And
oh, very cool.
It was awesome. Oh, and Vesa was there being our prize lady, and she was awesome. She was so great. Kind of last minute addition, and she just killed it. So well done.
Very cool.
Well done, Colorado. All right.
Yay. Colorado represent.
Always.
Siv was involved too.
Well, that's true. Hey, the TMS Film Festival winners for this month will be announced tomorrow.
That's correct. And
we're going to give the wrong name for the right winner. I know.
It's a thought, you know. Mm-hmm. No, we actually have, looks like, 14 entries. And I'm excited to start looking at these this afternoon, going through them. And, you know, again, we had 12 last month and 10 or something the time before. I mean, it's basically just going up and up and up and up. So
yep.
I love that you guys are all contributing. And looks like we do have a healthy amount from the MWCC. Is that community college? Dang it. What was it? MWCC.
Oh, I don't know.
Manchester
United by the Sea.
Winter Community College or whatever. It is. Yeah.
But, all right. Nice.
Yeah. So looking forward to going through these and then assembling a big prize package. And
we'll watch them today. We'll let you guys know tomorrow what we agreed on. And Yeah.
Now, does anybody remember? We talked about this last time. Has anybody emailed you to remind us what our March idea was that we came up with?
It was so good, and no one remembers, and no one wrote it down.
Damn it.
I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
It just tickled me. It just came past. It was a little drive-by. Hold on.
Okay.
And my brain went for a second. Okay, it's it was something to do with... Oh, frick. Now it's gone.
Oh, man.
I had it for a half a second. I hate the way the brain works sometimes. What a big floppy gray piece of poo we have in our heads.
Free Ranger says, wasn't the March idea what kind of fast food creation you wanted to see created? Was that it? Is that the thing that just drove by and went, fart guy?
I don't think so. Explosive tip, it said, as it ran by. I don't know. I don't think that was it, though.
Okay.
That doesn't ring my bell.
That might be what we use, because I do remember us talking about it, and I thought we got it as a TMS question, didn't we? As a Ask TMS question.
Or we may have evolved a question into it or something.
Maybe. But I think...
I mean, that one will do. It'll totally do.
I swear
it was some other brilliant thing, though. All right. Well, I mean, you know, look, it still has a chance to come out. And if it's the food combo, that sounds fun anyway. So I think that'd be all right. Anyway, so we'll talk more tomorrow. We'll give you your winners. All that stuff will happen.
For sure.
What else? Is there anything other than that I wanted to say? Probably not. Oh, I guess I got to let Daryl know that he can come into this thing now.
Let him know he's welcome to join us.
He can be in part of it.
Okay, if you must be.
There he is. I'll stick that in there. Today I'll be on TNT Tech News Today over there at the Twit Network at 5 our time, I think, is my time. Or is it 4 my time? I forget what the mountain time is. But anyway... I have been asked to be on with Megan Maroney again today, and I love hanging out with her. She's awesome. Cool. I don't know where Jason is today. He's off doing some sort of something. So that's why they've asked me to be on, but I'm very much looking forward to it. So check that out later today. Of course, Hotline Monday today as well at 3 p.m. our time. And there was another Monday thing. Is that it? It was a busy day. There's a lot going on today. I know that. That I know. This much I know.
Yeah, you got Hotline Monday. You got this. You got...
my little guest spot.
All right.
It'll all be great. Here's this. Daryl Skeels on the line with us. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
Do you watch the Oscars?
No, I never do.
You never do? How come you never do?
I don't know.
Just not your thing, huh?
Yeah, I can kind of imagine how it goes in my head, and it's always the same.
Well, would you like
to... Except for this time.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, I probably didn't predict this business.
Would you like to hear the 30 shortest Daryl clips in a row? Would you like to hear that?
Oh, geez. All right.
Here goes. I'm going to play them in a row. I had this all
one
set up for
gonna
us.
One of them's going to be that.
Very well could be. All right, here you go. 30 in a row.
What? I'm going to lick it. That was your dong.
Oh, I have no idea.
Doody doody doo.
Words every day.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yes.
A YouTube.
Poop.
All mushy and wet.
Zert.
Do Google and...
How can you screw up a hamburger? I don't like hearing myself. Shut up, me.
Mine's defective.
My logic just caved in on me.
I guess I'll just have to bite it.
Nope.
Ventor. Oh, poo. That sounds hard.
You complete the phrasing with nothing.
Choke-o-matic. Choker.
You guys sound kind of sparkly. It's like somebody peed in a pineapple. And I know all this stuff because of a 5-year-old girl.
All right. Those are your top 30. Those are the 30 shortest versions of clips that I have from you. So that's how that worked.
Wow.
That's awesome.
It is.
Yeah, it was off to a rocky start right there with the, is that your dong? I'm going to lick it or something like that.
Yeah, that was a rough one. I still am kind of recovering from it, to be honest. All right. Hey, we're going to get right into it and do the for real deal here. Which means it's time for us to take a call. When you call into this number, we already have a caller. Let's take it. All right, so here it is. Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
Oh, sweet. It's Matt, everybody. I swear.
Matt, where are you calling from?
Florida,
Matt.
I feel like we've heard from Matt before. Your voice is familiar. Have you called before?
Yeah, I'm the guy that you thought was a teenager, but he's
30. Right.
Oh,
yes.
Right. Yeah, that's. I love Matt's voice. Matt needs to be a voiceover artist because he'll work forever.
Totally.
He's like those guys that end up being like that lady that's like Bart Simpson. She'll never not be Bart Simpson because she's got that voice.
Exactly.
Well, Matt, it's good to have you back on. Brian's going to explain the rules. We probably all know him, but he'll give us a cursory overview and what you could win.
That's right, Matt. We are going to be asking Daryl a trivia question. He's going to answer in his big, deep Seattle manly voice with some sort of number. And then we're going to turn to you, and you're going to tell us whether the real answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you win a prize package that includes a Buffy the Vampire Slayer t-shirt and a Stargate beanie.
Ooh, a beanie, eh?
Probably doesn't get cold enough in Florida to warrant wearing a beanie, but if it, you know.
Yeah.
If it does drop into the mid-70s, then boy, you'll be covered. And it's a Stargate beanie with a pom-pom.
Oh, is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it had a...
That's not a... I thought beanies were the thing with a propeller on the top.
Well, those are also beanies, but...
Well, see, here's the problem. Okay.
Knit hats.
So, Daryl, you bring up a good point. Back when you and I were kids, all right, you're older than me, but when we were kids, roughly, you know, let's say late 70s through 80s, if you said beanie, it was a kid with a multicolored small hat with a little propeller on top, right?
Looked like a half of a beach ball with a propeller on it.
You're right. Absolutely. Brian's exactly right. And if you said the word thong, you were talking about somebody's flip-flops. Mm-hmm. You were not talking about their butt floss, right? So those two things changed at some point. At some point, they got co-opted by butt floss and normal hats without the propeller. And that's just how it is now, and there's no going back. There's no turning that clock backwards, and I hate it. When I walk into the room and say, I need to get a new pair of thongs, that's what I want to say. I don't want to say flip-flops, because right. Back in the day, we said thongs, and that's just the way it was. And now, when I say that, people go, thongs, because they think I'm talking about lady underwear. Or men's. I don't care what you're into.
Sure, men can wear that too, right?
Listen, we all have bums to floss. I understand. Gotta keep those. You know what your dentist tells you. Always floss every day. All right, Daryl, why don't we do this? What's his topic today?
The topic today is the Berenstain Bears.
Oh, all right.
Berenstain Bears. I think it's Steen, isn't it?
Berenstain, I believe. He wrote Stain. I don't know why they say Berenstain.
Mop up after the Berenstain. No, it is A-I-N.
Oh, is it? Bears. But it was never pronounced that way when I was growing up. This is another thing that changed that I didn't know about. They're now Stains and not Steens.
I think it was a
Berenstain.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe it just always sounded like Steen.
Yeah.
All right.
Berenstain Bergen.
Well, Brian, you. it's funny. I was just thinking about Sam Malone, and he's married to her. Aren't they still married? Still married.
Yes. Right. Yeah. They've got the best agents, and I don't know who their agent is, but if I was ever to like be an actor, I would absolutely seek out who represents Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen, because they're hired for so much. She was in Justified. She's in that Last Man on Earth. Mm-hmm. He was in
he was in Fargo.
The Good Place, Fargo. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, CSI for a long time.
Yeah,
he's exactly. Really. I really like Ted Danson these days. His stuff is great, and it's fun watching Cheers and remembering what I used to think Ted Danson was just kind of a one shot pony. But it's great to see him do stuff. All right. Daryl, he was also kind of a pervert on MASH. It's something I've come to Cheers. After watching Cheers, you kind of go, oh, Sam was kind of a like.
Well, he's definitely, you know, he's playing a misogynist who treats women like candy wrappers, basically.
Big time. Big time. I mean, it kind of worked because they'd always shut him down, but it was still, man, I don't remember that when I was growing up. But anyway, Daryl, speaking of growing up, Berenstain Bears. Is that a children's book series you're familiar with?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right. Well, they've been around since 1962, and the first book in the long...
So has Daryl.
Yeah, so has Daryl. The first book in the Leong-running series, he meant long, he just wrote Leong, was called The Great Honey Hunt. All right? The Great
also
Honey...
Another Ted Danson television show.
Yeah, it was a failed pilot between Cheers and that Barker, or whatever it was called.
Becker.
As of February this year, how many Berenstain Bears books have been published? And your hint is that it is somewhere between 30 and 900.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, I wouldn't even have thought that it was much as 30.
Hmm.
Huh.
They've been around for a long
time. We gave you that low end.
62, man. It's a long time ago.
Yeah. Let's see. That how many? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
You don't know? Well, we assumed you didn't know exactly.
Yeah, that's a given.
Yeah.
okay.
We're looking for an estimate here.
books. I don't know how many books people would normally write when they write one thing. Like, well, Dr. Seuss books, there's a zillion of those.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. I don't know how many
were actually written by Theodore Geisel and how many were...
Some are post him, right?
Right, exactly. Like, in his style. Yeah. In the style of Dr. Seuss.
Well, those all suck, though. They're
good. Here's the Dr. Seuss bibliography. There is a total of... Oh, okay. The bulk of Theodore Seuss, Geisel's books were published under the name Dr. Seuss, except for The Great Day for Up, My Book About Me, and I'm Not Going to Get Up Today. These books were illustrated and written by Geisel, but no other, he didn't use his name. So they don't have it. Okay, I'm trying to find it. Oh, there's some posthumous ones, but I don't want to look at those. Mm-hmm. His last book was in 1990. His first one was in 31.
Hmm.
The first one is called The Pocketbook of Boners. Hey, speaking of thongs and beanies,
right?
Back in his day,
exactly.
Didn't mean what it means now.
They tried to take it back too with Michael J. Fox's friend's name on, or no? Was it Michael J. Fox's friend or was it Kirk Cameron's friend on?
Growing Pains friend. Boner.
It was Boner.
Yeah.
I guess Michael J. Fox had a friend named Skippy, right? Is that who?
I think that's correct.
Yeah.
Doesn't say here total, which is bugging me. So I guess that's all right. Oh, no. Here we go. He published over 60 children's books in the course of his long career. And those are just the ones he did. Mm-hmm. Everything else was later from other people. So there you go. Little trivia for you there, folks.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Daryl?
Well, he only did 60, and I was thinking like 300 or something.
Well, maybe that'll help inform you here. I don't know.
Oh, I think it will.
Hmm.
I'm going to say he probably wrote a bunch of stuff that we've never heard of.
Who, the Berenstain Bear people?
Yeah.
I don't think it's one person, though. I think that was always like a group effort, but I could be wrong.
One guy?
I actually don't know that. I have no idea.
I think it is.
It was well one guy.
I don't remember his name, though.
It was one guy, Ryan?
The guy that does Berenstain Bears.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
It's the same illustrator every time? I think it's a different illustrator. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Because it's not...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not... Unlike Seuss, where he was drawing and writing, I don't think that's happening here. I could be wrong, though.
And I thought that was all... They always look the same.
Yeah, they did. But, pretty consistent across the board. Mm-hmm. They always bug me because they didn't look like bears to me. They always look like ferrets or something. They're a weird style. They don't look like bears.
Right. By the way, the creator was Stan and Jan Berenstain.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Yeah, the creators.
Who drew them? Does it say?
That's what I'm looking through to see.
Who turned ferrets into bears? That's what I want to know. Let's get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, it's a bad.
It's a bad entry.
A bad link that I know. I want the Wikipedia page and not this thing that
somebody's geosites page
sent us to.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's a bad one. That's a Berenstain Bears wiki page. Weird.
Right.
Like the entire
thing.
And
on the main page does not list who did the art.
Great. That seems like a oversight. Matt, how you doing over there? You doing good? Matt?
So me?
No.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, I'm just making sure you're still here. We've dallied so much, I didn't want to lose you. All right, Daryl, what do you think?
Okay, let's do this thing. I'm going to say he probably did less than Seuss, but not a lot less. Oh, yeah, this is my chance. I got to say 47.
40? Oh, yeah, because you totally can say the number if you're thinking it's low.
By the way, it looks like they both... drew it because they're both art teachers.
Oh, they were both doing illustration? Weird.
They met on their first day of drawing class at the Philadelphia Museum School of Industrial Art, and they separated during World War II when he worked for the Army as a medical illustrator.
Yeah.
And they reunited and married 5 years later in 1946.
How come all these heart surgery drawings look like bears? What's going on?
Ferrets.
So, yeah, ferrets. What? How? That's interesting. I would like to know more about their story. I wonder if there's a documentary or something. Well, anyway, all right. Brian, is the number 47 correct?
47 is incorrect. Matt, is the actual answer higher or lower than 47?
Well, between the books I had as a kid and my kids' books now, I'm pretty sure we already own more than that. So I'm going to go higher.
I'm going to go higher than that, eh? Oh, that's interesting. We got a father with the books themselves. This is interesting. Daryl apparently didn't care for the Bears when his kids were little. Well, let's find out if that is correct. Is it?
Congratulations.
Totally higher.
You're a winner.
In fact, the number's much closer to what Daryl was thinking originally, which is 319.
Oh,
that's a lot of that's a lot of frickin' books. 319 in the series. They have a complete list on this link what's the name gave us. So, 319.
No matter what I said, it would have been higher. Yeah. I would never have said 300.
I especially with all that crusty lag that you're getting.
I just never
say. You sound like you're going to talk to Frodo about something important. All right. Hey, well done, Matt. You've done it. And all you got to do is send Brian an email at coverville@gmail.com. And the winnings are yours. Buffy the Vampire t-shirt and Stargate beanie with a, what'd you call it, Brian, on the top?
With a pompon.
Is that what that's called?
That's called a pompon, yes.
I did not know that either. I feel like we've learned a lot of things today.
We've all learned and grown together. And Matt, I'm even going to throw in, I'm going to just shove it in the envelope, this partially filled out Oscar ballot signed by La La Land director Damien Chazelle.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah,
that's,
what a deal, right?
That's incredible.
I'm going to sign it right now.
Well done. It's got Mad Max on there and everything. Matt, congratulations. Well done. And play again, won't you? Daryl, let's talk to you for a second. You're the Trek nerd on Twitter, and he's also at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. That's a podcast that talks all about Star Trek. They talk about episodes and stuff. So check that out. It's good stuff. Him and Mike doing it.
And if you go over to the feed on the regular thing where you guys are, you're not there, but This Week in Trek was there when I was trying to get this show.
Oh, when the audio, you're trying to get the audio. We should be there. Are we not there now?
Yeah.
We should be there.
Well, you weren't when I looked. Oh. I had to go to Twitch.
Oh, it says we're there. Here, I better. Oh, weird. I better give it Todd. Something's being weird. Hopefully that's working for. It looks like it's working for some people because I'm seeing connected people. I don't know. Technology. It's complicated. All right. Daryl, good job. Why don't you play a game with us? You got one with us? Something to do there with a Google or a YouTube or whatnot?
I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. Mm-hmm. You complete the phrase and win nothing. YouTube.
All right.
Is it too early to blank?
Get a fish sandwich.
Right. It seems like the obvious one. Is it too early to... I'm going to say drink.
Is it too early to drink? That's pretty good, like, Brian. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is it too early for... I got it. Is it too early for Christmas decorations? Or something about Christmas stuff.
Well, it's too early to, so you have to have the word
too early to put up Christmas decorations.
Yeah, I'll say that. Is it too early to play Christmas music? That's it.
Oh, that's good too.
Is it too early to play Christmas music? Because every year somebody complains about that crap.
If you have to ask them, the answer is yes.
Right. So, exactly. So that's going to be my thinking there. What? Who got it? Or who's closest?
Okay, who's closest?
Yeah.
The number one query result is, is it too early to say I love you?
Oh, that's adorable. It's never too early to hang up on Daryl. There he goes away now. All right, here's the news, guys. It's the news brought to you by...
La La Land. I'm sorry. It's the news brought to you by there are still close to 120,000 people waiting for a life-saving organ transplant. Anyone can register to be a donor at registerme.org and learn more by listening to the Gifted Life podcast. It's the nation's only podcast focused on donation and transplantation. Visit lopa.org /pod. Let's do that one more time. Visit lopa.org/podcast for more information or wherever you get your podcasts.
That sounds all right. Okay, so here's the deal. My headline here is what the hell happened last night.
Right.
The Oscars, and we're going to talk about that for a second. Here's how the worst flub in Oscar history went down. Prepare yourselves, everybody. Oscar got it wrong, so wrong. The presenters announced the wrong best picture. You know, the most important award of the night, that one?
Right, the one that came about 45 minutes after the projected end of the telecast.
Yeah, who knew Steve Harvey was working behind the scenes at the Oscars? It was announced that Best Picture went to La La Land when really it was Moonlight. It was the biggest, most embarrassing, most awkward mistake in the history of the Academy Awards, says this article on USAtoday.com. It played out before an audience of millions watching on TV and a theater full of stars standing stunned, mouths agape, as a chaotic scene unfolded on stage at the Dolby Theater after midnight Eastern time.
Right.
Here's I got more. So, look at Warren Beatty looking all freaked out. Okay.
I know. Poor Warren Beatty, because he, you know, he really got the crap end of this deal.
Big time. I feel like he got hosed. So I've got a little video here. We'll play a taste of it.
And the Academy Award.
And he's looking at it like, what?
La La Land.
Yeah. Okay. Hands it to Faye Dunaway, who just
this is not
the
a
words,
joke.
La-
Moonlight La La Land, is one best picture.
Emma Stone.
Moonlight. Best.
Now, the best part of that is the producer, bald producer guy, yanked the card out of Warren Beatty's hand.
Yes.
He yanked it out of his hand and went...
pulls it out of his hand and shoves it up like, you idiot, Warren Beatty. I never liked Heaven Can Wait anyway.
Yeah, watch this chat room. You can see this video.
Moonlight.
Whoops,
Wayne. Best picture.
Let's back it up.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won best picture.
Look at that. He yanks it.
Best picture.
And it says it on the camera. It says Moonlight. Yeah. I don't know what happened. So now there's still an investigation going on because the envelope he had... actually said Best Supporting Actress on the outside of it.
Right. But see, here's the deal. So they have, according to the news, they have on each side of the stage, PricewaterhouseCoopers has duplicate envelopes. So they've got a set of all the all the winners on one side instead of all the winners on the other side, depending on which side the cards come in from.
All right.
Where the presenters come in from.
That makes sense.
And he came in from the other side. They came in from the other side than the previous presenter, who was Leonardo DiCaprio, who had the Emma Stone envelope. So on the other side, they still had the Emma Stone envelope for best actress.
Okay.
They handed that one to Warren Beatty. They went out on stage. Warren Beatty opens it, sees it, and like, well, this isn't right. You can see it on his face too.
Yeah, and he digs in there to look. He's like digging in for a second look to see if he can find out.
Right, and then is there a second envelope in there? You see him doing that even, and he's handing it to Faye Dunaway, who just kind of blurts it out.
Now here's my question to you. Here's my question to you. If they all knew it was Moonlight,
who's they?
Well, who knows about it?
PricewaterhouseCoopers are the only people who know the contents of that envelope.
But then why was Warren Beatty so confused? That's my question. Why?
Because it said Emma, because the thing said Emma Stone La La Land on it.
It wasn't just the envelope that was wrong. You're saying that the actual thing in there was her Emma Stone.
It was the Best Actress envelope with Emma Stone La La Land written inside it.
Okay. And, all right. You know, that is an honest mistake. In my mind, I was thinking they knew it was a different picture and they just announced the one that was on the card wrong. They were like, it says it on the card. Right.
So I mean, even Oscar producers, and this goes to show you how only PricewaterhouseCoopers knows about what are the contents of the envelopes, because even the announcing voice as they're walking up said, "This is the seventh win for La La Land tonight, who've previously won such and such, such blah 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 blah."
Yeah.
And if they would have had those notes in front of them, they would have been like, Moonlight won. You idiots. You fools.
Well, I mean, hats off to the producer of La La Land for being so gracious about the mistake. And I mean, the director of La La Land in the background looked a little mortified.
Right. Well, yeah, poor guy. I mean, they won a lot. Come on. I mean, nobody's faulting La La Land. And Moonlight was an excellent movie. And had only won screenplay and Mahershala Ali for supporting actors. So it was good that they got, I think it was good that they got it too. But that was not the only goof up last night.
Ooh, I'd like to hear about more. By the way, one quick note, I saw a really funny tweet of the director of La La Land in the background, and the caption was, and it was right after they found out it was the wrong Oscar.
Yeah.
And he's just looking like kind of blank faced, dumbfounded. And the caption below it said, "We are witnessing the beginning of the next supervillain." So it's like this idea that this is his origin story.
His origin story. Yeah.
was really good. Anyway,
yeah,
all
you
right.
know, it is calling into question all my funny hat acceptance awards at the podcast awards a couple years ago. Now those are getting investigated. Yeah. We have a special prosecutor.
We don't know what it. We don't know what's real anymore. I don't know what's real.
We don't.
No, yeah. Adele Dazeem. Who's that? I have no idea. Maybe she was really called that.
Does PricewaterhouseCooper handle election results too?
I know. The other thing I saw this morning is. Boy, this would have been fun if this is how you did election results and somebody screwed that up. I mean, before you go to the other goof, that is actually something I wanted to mention here. If yeah. you, the number one thing you have to do at these award shows, number one on the list
right.
is get
hand the right envelope yes. to the presenter.
Yeah. Now, who that guy is, I don't know. Where is he now? Who
well,
he or
he's
she?
Looking for a new job. I'm guaranteeing it because that was such an embarrassing and such an embarrassment that whoever. Handed that envelope to Warren Beatty before he went out on stage. Is
you must be just feeling like a miserable poo today, and I feel bad for that person. I mean, I listen. I know it was you're going to get scrutiny, and you should have probably done better. But he's probably miserable. He or she is miserable today.
And that man's name is Steve Bartman. Anyway.
Steve Harvey. Anyway, all right. Steve so Harvey. Give me your
so the other deal. Flub last night. Yeah. They do. You know how they do the in memoriam, the death montage, right? Where they
oh yeah, I heard about this.
they talk about who's passed away in the last year, and yeah. and Bill Paxton. It was too recent for them to add him in there, but it was really cool how Jennifer Aniston, who kind of introduced the in memoriam segment, said, you know, and mentioned Bill Paxton,
yeah,
even kind of hinting that yeah, it's too so recent we couldn't get him into this, but
right.
that was that's a good way to handle it, because the first thing people say is, well, how come Bill Paxton wasn't in the
yeah
the montage?
Sure.
But they showed Janet Patterson, costume designer,
yeah,
and her photo as Sarah Bareilles is singing a great cover of Both Sides Now, but while Janet Patterson, costume designer, did pass away, the photo they showed was of her friend, Jan Chapman, who is very much still alive.
She's alive and well. Yeah. Great. Well done, guys. Good R&D.
An Australian film producer. And so many people were learning about both the death of Janet Patterson and Jan Chapman, who is very much alive at the same time.
Oh, these guys. I love it. I kind of love it because... we're all human. We make mistakes, but on yeah. that big of a stage, whew, that's rough yeah, business,
it's a
man.
Little rough.
It's a little rough. Well, congratulations to the winners. In fact, let's take a quick look at those winners. Here's sure. your overall winners and losers, I suppose, by association. Moonlight took best picture in the end. Mm-hmm. Casey Affleck got best actor.
Yeah, which is... I had him on my list. I had 17 picked out of the whatever 24 categories.
Yeah.
And I kept him on my list even though there was that whole scandal with the sexual harassment accusations.
Mm. Those are a few years old, or how long ago was that? It was like
I think like
oh, is that recent?
Recent. I want to say it's within the last year.
Gotta watch out for those Affleck boys.
They had some great fun at Matt Damon's expense, because you know there's this
oh yeah
this fake feud between him and Kimmel, right? And yeah. so they introduced Ben Affleck, and when it was time for Matt Damon and Ben Affleck to come out and present, they announced it as Ben Affleck and guest. And then nice. Every time Matt Damon would start talking, the orchestra would play the playoff music.
That's amazing.
And then they pan down, and it's Jimmy Kimmel conducting the orchestra.
All right, that's actually pretty good.
It was really fun.
I like Kimmel a lot. He probably benefited from being there for one of the more controversial ones where they screwed up.
I think
up
so,
the
yeah.
Yeah.
He dipped a little too much into the well with the going up to or talking to celebrities and saying, oh, yeah, nobody saw your movie. Like, he did that with... Isabelle Huppert, and he did that with somebody else, and it seemed like, okay, you're kind of that was funny the first time you did it, and then you're kind of dipping into that well a little too much, man.
Yeah, they all do that too much, in my opinion. I don't like when they go up in the audience and go, oh, it's Jack Nicholson, everybody, look at him. He looks like
well,
a
I don't know what
fart.
Happened to Jack Nicholson, but he hasn't been at like the last three Oscars. I think he's just done.
He's done. He's like, f this,
I got something else to do.
He's in a hot tub with well, what's her name?
Kathy
Bates.
Or Kathy Bates, right. Yeah. Kathy Bates.
All right, so you got your Moonlight. You got your Casey Affleck. You got your Emma Stone. She won for La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
Damien Chazelle, best director for La La Land. Viola Davis for Best Supporting Actress in Fences. You picked that one, didn't you?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah, you did.
I got the, I miss pretty, I said La La Land for Best Pictures, so that's one I missed, actually, or one of the ones I missed. But
yeah, that's really cool. I did
have Viola and Mahershala.
Mahershala Ali for Best Supporting Actor, Moonlight. Now,
first Muslim to win an Academy Award.
Oh, that's cool. Isn't he also, isn't he,
he was in Hidden Figures and Moonlight.
Wasn't he also on
Viola Davis. Yes, I'm sorry. Viola Davis.
Yeah, we always say Viola. I mean Viola. But wasn't he on something like...
House of Cards.
No. I thought he was on the freaking...
He was in Iron... Luke Cage.
Luke Cage.
He was Cottonmouth.
Yes. There you go. That's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
The sales...
I'll let you finish a sentence and I won't... jumping
if I could only do it. I'm terrible at it. The Salesman won for Best Foreign Language Film. Zootopia for Best Animated Feature. Manchester by the Sea for Screenplay.
I wanted Kubo to win. I mean, I love Zootopia. It was great, but...
I would have gone Kubo as well.
Kubo was such a great... You know, and it's not Disney, and it's like you kind of want to root for the underdogs in a case like that.
Yeah. It's weird to see him Pixar not win that, but whatever. Disney, Pixar, they're all the same now. Manchester by the Sea, Best Original Screenplay. You got Best Song, City of Stars from Moonlight. La La Land got Best Original Music Score. Moonlight was Best Adapted Screenplay. Some of these we don't care about. Jungle Book got Best Visual Effects. Mm-hmm. Animated Short went to Piper. That's that rad Pixar.
Rogue One, that Jungle Book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Doctor
it did.
Doctor Strange, yeah.
Piper, the little animated thing before Dinosaurs, I think. Pixar's Dinosaur. Or Good Dinosaur, that was it?
No, it was before Finding Dory.
Was it?
Yeah, it's a little, because we didn't see Good Dinosaur, but we did see Finding Dory and we did see Piper.
Oh, I don't remember. Piper Short.
It's the one with the little sandpiper running around on the beach and waves are smashing it and his little baby while there's all the adult sandpipers who have figured out the rhythm of avoiding
the
waves.
That's the one, you're right. It was before Dory. Now it's all coming back to me. I couldn't remember what I saw before that one. What was before that one? I loved that one too. The one that was before The Good Dinosaur was great. I don't remember what it was.
Still
it was
need
so
to
great.
See Good Dinosaur.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. What I liked, maybe one of my favorite facts about that movie was they were saying that one single shot of the mountains and the prairie was as much data as the entirety of the first two Toy Story movies.
Oh my God.
A single frame.
Same number of polygons.
Yeah. A single frame equaled as much as those two movies combined.
Wow.
It's crazy. That kind of stuff is so cool. Anyway. Who else? Who else matters here? We got some sound editing. Don't care. Best production. Don't care. Well, I mean, we care. These guys are great. We love these guys, but we're trying to stick to the fun stuff here.
Sure.
Best
makeup. Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. That's a good one to jump to.
Best documentary. I'll tell you what. That documentary absolutely deserved. OJ Made in America is really good and must be seen. And it's not just about OJ, and it's really great. And I'm so glad it won.
And let me talk really quickly about. Because Friday night we went out to see the best documentary short subjects. Mm-hmm. And holy crap. I told you this via text as we were coming out of the theater. It was like watching Manchester by the Sea five times. They were the most heavy, pull out your heart, stomp on it, and then return it for the closing credits and then repeat five times. But The White Helmets was excellent. If you do get a chance to see the documentary short subjects, they're really, really good. iTunes actually has all of the live action short films. You can download the whole set for $12.99. Totally worth it. There are two excellent ones, including Sing, and then one called Time Code that's very funny. Mm. And then there's one that's horrendous called Silent Nights about a woman in Denmark who has the poorest judgment ever.
Oh, I don't.
And
that sounds awful.
Keeps getting involved with a homeless man who's also a thief and married with children.
That's perfect. That sounds like
it's a really bad one. It was we don't like anybody in this one. This is horrible.
Yeah, I don't. That one sounds bad and in a lot of ways and lots of reasons why that's bad.
Yeah.
Not interested.
No.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Steven Schleicher. He's here, I think. I don't know. I haven't actually heard from Steven.
Cool.
Let me check and make sure I got stuff from Steven.
He's got to be here because he sent us stuff to talk about.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. I didn't see the stuff to talk about, and that's what threw me off. There it is. All right. Yeah. Steven will be here. That'll be great. We love Steven, so that'll be fun. Come on back for that. In the meantime, though, you got a little music? What do you got?
I have some music, and this one comes to us from a listener. Actually comes to us, like, you know, was sent in by a listener. And I'm hoping that I pull up the right name here, because I'm thinking I grabbed the wrong one. Let's see here. Hold on. Hold on. Sorry. Sorry.
Stand by. We'll let Dunaway laugh. There you go. He can do that as often as
you need. Leave it to a Dunaway.
He did that on Film Sack over the weekend. It just made me laugh. So I captured it.
All right. This one comes to us from TMS listener, whose name is Will Chinda. And he says, "Hi, Brian. One of my favorite artists is a guy named Tom Cassino, or Cassino, who releases music under the name Broke for Free. He's been putting out loads of amazing electronic music for free, hence the name, that also happens to be usable under Creative Commons. His new album, XXVII, or 27, is abso-freaking-amazing, and I wanted to share my favorite track from it, Bella and the Whale, with other Tad Pooligans on TMS. I've been listening to the album nonstop since it came out because it's the perfect doing work soundtrack. It's also showing up in my YouTube videos because, like I said, it's Creative Commons. His website is brokeforfree.com. You can name your prize for downloading any of his albums. He's also done some work for GoPro, so there's a few YouTube videos featuring crazy action shots and stuff set to his music. And then he also includes a screenshot of him accepting and saying, oh yeah, please feel free to play my music on TMS. So we love that. Love that. By the way, just a little note to those of you paying attention and listening to my blathering here. Get your request in, because we've got a lot of open spots for requests this week and next week. So if you've got a birthday coming up or something you want to talk about on the show, and you don't even have to name a song, you can name an artist you want to hear covered, or a song you're wondering if there are any good versions of, etc. So
where do they go to sign up for that again?
They go to, so glad you asked, Scott. It's tinyurl.com/TMS requests.
And if you're just happen to find yourself at frogpants.com/TMS, there is a direct link there as well. So
that's right.
Find it in both.
Or tiny.cc/TMS requests. Yeah. All of those work.
Yeah.
Anyway, as previously mentioned, from the album 27 in Roman numerals, which came out last year, here is Broke for Free and Bela and the Whale. Thank you.
I want those little paint-happy bastards caught and hung up by their Buster Browns.
It's a spaceship.
The Morning Stream. It's alive. It's alive.
It's a spaceship.
All right, we're back, everybody. Ah, that's good. I like that a lot. That was trippy and cool. That's my favorite kind of EDM, is like nice, trancey, put me in a zone kind of stuff. I like that a lot.
Sound perfect in the background as you're listening to stuff. Yeah, Broke for Free, brokeforfree.bandcamp.com if you want to check out more and buy and download. Name your price and just download the whole album and have it on while you do stuff.
And he's doing that stuff for free. I mean, free doing if you want it, but pay, yeah, I mean, pay what you can. Free. All right, that's incredible. That's always incredible to me when they're that good and people, I don't know. I hope I hope people are paying him is all I'm saying. I hope that they dig deep into their wallets and give to this man.
That's right.
We're going to get this party started proper with this guy. From the sweeping Kansas dirty plains. I don't know, that didn't come out right.
It is dirty.
It's Steven Schleicher. Steven, what's up? How are you?
Good morning.
Good.
Getting a little echo on myself.
Oh, that shouldn't be good. You still hear it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Nope, it's gone now.
Okay, it's gone now. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it doesn't. Hey, Steven Schleicher, it's a major spoiler zone. He comes on the show and we talk about nerdy stuff, usually movies, TV, pop culture, comics, all the good stuff that happens at majorspoilers.com. And it's always good to have you on. How was your Oscar weekend?
My parents came in. They were driving through from Denver yesterday, so they stopped in yesterday. So I didn't watch the Oscars either.
Oh yeah, I got so busy by the time I was done, I was like, oh, they're kind of over. Like I just missed them completely.
Yeah.
And when I checked Twitter, that was right when the goof happened, and then I was like, well, shoot, now, should I turn this on? And I thought, well, I'll get it online. And you know, Brian was there for the whole thing. He's just a master of ceremonies.
I sat through it.
Well done.
Sat through the
3.5 hours or whatever it is. All right,
that's one of the reasons I don't watch it.
Yeah, it's kind of a beast, right?
Yeah,
it's a lot of backslapping and whatnot. And when Fury Road's not up for anything, it's kind of hard for me to be motivated. Hey, let's talk about movies. Speaking of movies and Affleck's and things like that, nice for Casey to win, I suppose. But there's been stuff going on with his brother Ben, who was going to direct Batman. The new Batman, with him being Batman in it. And we were going to get all kinds of B-roll of him standing next to actors and behind-the-scenes people giving him instructions while still in a bat suit. I was really looking forward to that, but we're not going to get that now. Instead, we're going to get somebody else. And who is that someone and why are we excited?
Well, I don't know if we're excited, but Matt Reeves has been hired to direct the Batman movie. As of right now, Ben Affleck is still going to be Batman. Mm. But Matt Reeves, for those of you who don't know, directed the upcoming War of the Planet of the Apes and the just released Planet of the Apes movie.
The last
one that one was.
Yeah, the last one was great. This actually, I actually have some real high hopes because of it. Because I think the last Planet of the Apes movie, Dawn, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's confusing because Rise and Dawn. Dawn sounds like it should be first. Rise should be second, but it's the reverse. Anyway, that latest one, and I liked okay the first one. I really, really liked the second one. And he's done other stuff. Cloverfield.
Yeah, Cloverfield is probably the other big one on the list that people would instantly recognize.
So he's a J.J. Abrams guy.
Yeah.
Old pal of his. They used to do a bunch of work together. And he's got some of that heritage or whatever. But I'm totally on board. I think it sounds great. I don't need some perfectly well-known actor, dude. I think he's got the chops for the kind of tone you want out of a Batman movie. And maybe it's good that Affleck doesn't have to focus on two roles.
Well, if you are a studio and you are hoping for lots of money to bring in a director who has been very successful at the box office with his big movies, then yeah, it makes sense to bring him in. Now, there was a rumor earlier or talk a couple of weeks ago or the last time we talked that the talks had fallen apart between the studio and the director, but apparently they got it all back together.
There you go. Matt Reeves, son of George Reeves. brother of Christopher Reeve, and finally getting back to his DC roots. I just made all that up, so enjoy that.
Right. Yeah, now you've confused everyone.
Yes. Brian, you've seen I've never seen Cloverfield. I feel like
what?
Really?
I never have seen it, no.
Holy cow. That is worth checking out.
10 of Cloverfield
Lane? I haven't seen that one either, and that one's even more egregious because I know Dan Trachtenberg and would like to see his movie. Yeah.
You should see. They're good. It's the only thing that I think you wouldn't enjoy about it is the found footage kind of feel to the first one.
I like found footage movies though.
It has a lot of quick run kind of stuff. So if you're someone who is motion sick or gets motion sickness easily, that movie did cause a lot of people to get out of the theater because of the motion sickness.
Oh, that's right. There were a bunch of pukers.
Right.
And people there was a lot of talk of people getting sick. I can tell you that the new Planet of the Apes movie didn't have any of that. It was pretty straight up. Non-found footage.
Two words that'll make you move Cloverfield up on your list of things to watch.
All right.
Lizzie Kaplan.
Is she in that?
She is.
You thought I was going to say naked, but that's not what I was going to say.
Come on. I mean, all you need is a Showtime subscription if you want to see that.
Lizzie Kaplan naked. I'm a huge Lizzie Kaplan fan, so I didn't know she was in that. Why did I not know that? All right.
I don't know, but that should increase your... increase your run out and see it kind of mood.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
Watch it for FilmSec if it's streaming. That's not a bad idea.
I would do that. That'd be fine. We just did Jaws. That movie held up, man. Jaws is great. Yeah. Just Steven, if you get a minute, you should watch Jaws.
From that one guy, that Steven Spielberg guy?
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, I've heard about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a small little indie flick from a few years ago.
And summer disaster movies are never going to go anywhere.
It held up like nothing ever.
It's leaving March 1st. It's leaving. So if you do want to see it, you better hit Netflix quick.
I haven't seen it since like 20 years ago or whatever.
And yeah, it's really good.
Awesome. The sequels, as garbagey as they were, had a way of tarnishing my memory of it. So it was good for me to see it again because I was like, oh, right. This was awesome.
Yeah.
Everything that came after was horrible and money grabby and not good. But this was insane. Like that thing set his career on fire, man.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing is, if you get a chance to read the book, there's a lot of sections that are taken out of the movie that were in the book that explain some character development stuff, like the weird thing that was going on between Richard Dreyfuss's character and Brody's wife and what was going on with the mayor of the town, because he was there's this whole thing. He's like, I'm just trying to protect the community. And then later he tries to backtrack and say that he was actually doing it. It's a good thing that this happened and how he was behind it 100% kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There's some really good things that were left out of the movie, but the movie's still
just top notch.
Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. So good. That's what this guy, by the way, is from that I played earlier. Where is he? This guy.
I want those little paint happy bastards caught and hung up by their Buster Browns.
That's the mayor.
Yeah.
That's the mayor of the
mayor
town.
Himself.
Yeah. He's a real poop. all right, let's get into more here. Oh, so anyway, we'll see how that goes. Batman's coming. It's happening, whether you like it or not. Nightwing movie on the way. So speaking of Batman and his protege, we're getting a little dick in our Grayson, yeah?
Yeah, I suppose. Sure.
It's one way to put it.
Now the big question is, without a Robin appearing in the movies, can you have a Nightwing movie? Because Dick Grayson, who was the original Robin, grew up and then as a way to distance himself away from Batman, gave up the Robin name and took on the name of Nightwing, which is actually an homage to Superman, because there were two superheroes from the bottled city of Kandor, Flamebird and Nightwing. Mm. And Dick Grayson, because he always looked up to Superman and thought that Superman had given him a lot of advice through the years, took the name Nightwing to carry on the beating up bad guys tradition.
I think you don't need to have a bunch of Robins in movies before you do this, because I think we all just kind of know. It's kind of like we don't need to see Batman's origin story again.
Yeah, that is kind of the thing. But I can totally see it because Nightwing is essentially just Ninja Batman.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are excited about this. Now, the one thing is, they've just announced it. They've just said, hey, we're in the process of putting this together. We've hired somebody to write the script, Bill, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, the guy who wrote the Accountant movie with Ben Affleck. Mm-hmm. He's been tapped to write the script, and the guy who directed the Lego Batman movie has been hired to direct the Nightwing movie.
Oh,
so
that's cool. Yeah.
I don't know with the things that are going on with Batman right now, if suddenly Nightwing appears before Flash or Cyborg or the Aquaman movie appears. Mm-hmm. But my guess is we're not going to see Nightwing in the theaters before 2020.
Okay. Who would you cast? Do you have any ideas in your head?
That's a good one. I do not. I don't know all of the young actors these days who could step into a Nightwing role, because we need somebody who is really in their early 20s. To pull this off.
Yeah, I kind of agree. There's a list of 15 actors on Screen Rant they think should do it. Mm-hmm. And tell me how many of these names are familiar to you, okay?
Okay.
Dylan O'Brien.
No idea
either. He's in his mid-40s, but he's super young looking. He looks 22 or something.
Wow.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hold on. In his mid-40s at this point, he's crammed. Okay. Ben Affleck is in his mid-40s playing Batman. That's what they meant. So this guy's 25.
Oh, okay.
He's 25. It's Dylan O'Brien. He's from the O'Brien family. Some people are saying, and this article suggests, hey, how about Joseph Gordon-Levitt? He was Robin for a hot minute.
True.
Mm-hmm. Not bad, actually. That's not a bad pick. I think there's some fan service there. People love JGL, and he's got the chops, so he'd mm-hmm. be all right. He's in his 30s, mm-hmm. though, 36. Believe the kid from Third Rock from the Sun's going to be 40 soon. What the hell's that about?
Wow.
Louis Tan. Don't know him. NCIS, Los Angeles, Hawaii 5-0. He's an Asian-looking dude. Oh, he's Iron. He's in the Iron Fist somewhere. Well, anyway, Game of Thrones also. Anyway, that guy. Never heard of him. Garrett Hedlund. You know him from Tron Legacy and Pan.
Mm-hmm.
32-year-old dude there. And he's also inside Llewyn Davis. Riz Ahmed. Now, that guy, he was just in your Star Wars Rogue One. He was mm-hmm. in The Night Of. He's what's the Nightcrawler one with Maggie Gyllenhaal? I'm sorry, her brother, Jake.
You mean Nightcrawler?
You mean Nightcrawler?
Nightcrawler's what I meant. What did I say? What did I call
it? The Nightcrawler movie.
What's the Nightcrawler one?
Oh, yeah, the Nightcrawler movie called Nightcrawler. Yeah. He's really interesting and could totally be him. I'd be down with Riz Ahmed. Jake Gyllenhaal's on this list, but that dude's getting there. Oh, he just turned 36 also. He looks older. All right. Robert Pattinson. No, he doesn't shower. Nobody wants to be around him. Kit Harington. He's about to be done with Game of Thrones. How about that? Get a little Jon Snow all up in your Nightwing?
Yeah, actually, he could do. He could pull that off, sure.
Yeah, he'd be all right.
Get a haircut, for Pete's sake.
Richard Madden. He's in Game of Thrones also. He's Robb Stark. Oh, he'd be all right. The Robb Stark kid would be all right. And then a bunch of names I don't know. Oh, Rami Malek. Don't do that.
From Mr. Robot.
He's too creepy. He'll be talking to himself. Am I real? Can you guys see me? I don't want that. And then there's a few others. I don't know any of these people. Steven Yeun from the Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I should say previously of The Walking Dead. I don't want to give any spoilers away.
Spoiler alert.
Right. No, it's been 2 weeks, guys. We're okay.
I don't know. Ryan Guzman, if you haven't seen Everybody Wants Him, he's actually really good in that.
Ryan Guzman?
Yeah.
Or is it Guzman? We don't know.
I don't know.
That's Richard Linklater's lighthearted, simplistic take on the college baseball pros. I never saw that movie. I wanted to.
It's okay.
It's like a spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused, kind
of,
right?
It is, and it's really weird how much of the plot points line up, and it could really be the sequel, too. If you took Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character from Dazed and Confused and you aged him 4 or 5 more years, about the time he would be going to college in Everybody Wants Some, it really could be the sequel.
Yeah, interesting. All right, well, let's talk about Dynamite Entertainment. They make things.
And, yeah, they do.
They've announced an Atari poster book, and I am dying for this. Tell us
about it. Yeah, that's why I put that on there, because I thought you and Brian would really get a kick out of this. Everyone remembers the great, everyone our age remembers the great art that was on the covers of the Atari games back in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. And now Dynamite is collecting those into a giant poster book that you can actually remove the pages and hang them on your wall as art. It's only 40 pages long, this book that comes out, I want to say June. Mm-hmm. But my worry is, like some of these other poster books that I've seen other companies do, the art is on front and back, meaning you have two different, art on the front and back of the page, which means if you want to hang up a picture of Centipede and, I don't know, Swordmaster, at the same time, you might have problems.
It's a really fun thing, those old posts, those old covers, because they were so great in terms of like realistic art and like paintings, really. And then the games themselves look like garbage.
The art had nothing to do with the game.
Yeah.
They did such a great job of making you want to play those games, and you pop it in. It's like,
yeah, it's nothing like it.
But the artwork was really, really good. I actually used some of those pieces for Frog Pants Trivia All-Stars a few years ago, where you had to name the game based on seeing the artwork.
Oh, that's right.
Sometimes it looked like it had nothing to do with the actual game.
One of them was...
Yeah, look up the... Is it the Pong art that is like totally misrepresenting what the game is? Or maybe it's Breakout or something. Go hunt that down. It's great.
Pac-Man also is just like... stupid off. Like the version of Pac-Man that was on the 2600 is really literally, I mean, quite literally a piece of horse poo in the sun. Is so bad. And they weren't even dots. They were like
little squares.
Little wafer looking things. Oh, they screwed that game up. Wasn't even the same maze. It was a different maze than the one in the arcade.
Yeah. Oh, it totally was.
So bad. Those conversions were so
bad. I played that on my MAME because I do have a bunch of Atari games on my MAME cabinet. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, you know, the nostalgia, I got to play some Pac-Man. Made it through one life and said, no, I'm rebooting this thing. I can't even play.
Wow.
Play more than one round of this.
So, Steven, do we know when and how much?
It's coming out in June. My guess is it's around the $30, $40 mark. Didn't have a price as of the announcement that Dynamite sent us.
Probably pick that up.
For sure.
Tell me about the American Gods premiere date. And
oh, it's coming. I'm coming on Stars.
I'm so excited. Oh my gosh.
April 30th.
You guys don't even know. I mean, I talk a lot about Dark Tower as being my favorite book series ever, but maybe my favorite standalone book ever. And I know the what's the sequel? There's like a weird pseudo sequel called the Anansi Boys.
Anansi Boys.
Anansi Boys. Yeah.
I know that's kind of makes it a series, but my favorite single novel of all time is American Gods. I love that freaking book.
I had a chance to read it last summer, audiobook it last summer. And holy cow, it is fantastic. And I cannot wait to see Ian McShane as Wednesday.
Oh.
That is going to be awesome.
No, he's perfectly cast. Like, you just, these guys freaking nailed it. Now, do you, when you heard the book, the audiobook, was it the George Guidel one?
It's whatever is the unabridged one. So it's got it off iTunes/Audible. So I think that's him. Yeah.
He's incredible, that guy. Makes it even better than it was before.
Oh, wow.
And so you have time.
Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be huge, Brian. And I can't believe it's Stars. How did nobody else scoop this up? How did Stars get this deal? Because Stars is usually kind of poop. I'm not going to, their original programming, some of it's okay, but some of it is just like poop. This doesn't seem like it should be poop. This should be nice, tasty, non-poop.
It's kind of like that announcement of Bright, this fantasy cop show that's coming out on Netflix starring Will Smith. Mm. They were the best bidder for it. So.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Yeah, so American Gods comes out on April 30th. So there is about a month and a half for you to grab this book, which is huge, by the way.
Yeah, it's enormous.
To read through it. Now, the nice thing is, my understanding is, from what I hear, this is not going to be the complete adaptation in the TV series. In fact, this first season ends right when they get to, the House of the Rock meeting, in the book. So for those of you that have read it, if you get up to the House of the Rock part where they meet with all of the gods, all the gods, that's where the first season's supposed to end.
And if that doesn't make sense to you, you are in for a real treat, man. This is something special. It is easily Neil Gaiman's finest work in my humblest of opinions.
Yeah, the visuals on this should just be mind-blowing. Yeah. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
I ate this thing up when I read it. I want to read it again. Now, just talking about it, I want to read it again right now.
If you look, you can find Gillian Anderson as, what is she, Media? Is that her character's name?
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah. And she looks great in some of the pictures that you see.
Gillian Anderson. That's a great pick.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Okay. I cannot wait.
Okay, I'm all in. Watch for that coming up in April. That'll be great. Well, I can't think of a better place to end it on. Anything else happening on the site you'd like people to know about?
Not right now. We've got a bunch of reviews hitting the site later today. A lot of great comics out there. Regardless, if you're a Marvel or DC fan, go check out some of the indies because there's a lot of good stuff there. Always something for everyone in the comic book shop. So go visit your LCS today. Wednesday because that's the comic book day.
Exactly. Steven Schleicher, everybody. Take it easy. Oh, major spoilers on Twitter, everybody. So go check him out there as well. Always something to say. We'll talk to you later, man.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See you, buddy.
Oh, American Gods can't be here quick enough.
I know. Be pretty quick. I mean, you know, April 30th is going to come pretty darn quickly.
Faster than you think.
That's right. This week, come on, man. This week is Logan and Switch.
Oh, my gosh. Logan, dude. And the Switch is coming.
And the Switch.
And that other game that's getting a killer reviews. Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to have to get it. I'm going to have to get it. Because I have to talk about that game. It looks like they've just killed it with it. I cannot wait to get my hands on it. Yes. Cool. I wish there was a PC version. I'm pissed that there's not, but fine, whatever. Hey, let's talk about Kiss for a second, okay?
Okay.
Ray B. wrote in, and he said, Scott, I wanted to clarify a few points about Kiss, the band, because he heard us discussing them and doing a lot of Paul Stanley. Hey, Gene.
That's right.
Gene, something's wrong with this.
We talked about other members, including the fox and how silly a fox is.
Exactly. The cat and the demon and all that. So here's what he said. He wanted to clarify some things. He apparently is a fan. So, Scott, I wanted to clarify a few points about Kiss. I heard the discussion on Tuesday's TMS. Number one, on the subject of the late Eric Carr. I didn't know Eric Carr died. Did you?
I didn't either. Yeah.
Okay. I personally knew the gentleman. H was an amazing young man and a good friend. All right. Yep. Eric Caravello was selected as the new Kiss drummer after Peter Criss left. When he chose the stage name Eric Carr and took up the Fox persona, he remained a member of Kiss until his death from heart cancer. Is that such a thing as heart cancer? I've never even heard of that.
Must be.
That sounds awful. Anyway, he was only 41 years old, and that was in 91. That sucks. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. All right, so we should stop making fun of the Fox.
We won't make fun of the Fox.
No, Fox is no.
I mean, you know, hey, Eric Carr... talented and very sorry he's not with us anymore. Can we still make fun of the fact that somebody picked a fox for their makeup?
I won't even say it was his fault. Somebody else. That was somebody else's idea. Hey, Gene, I have an idea, Gene.
Here's my list. So just pick any animal from this list.
Look at this. I'm the star child. You're the demon. We should make a fox. All right. Ace Frehley, or Fraheli, as I used to say when I was younger. Had been fired from Kiss no less than 3 times, mostly from showing up for rehearsals and gigs drunk and or stoned out of his mind.
Jeez.
So that was why he was fired 3 times. Not showing up to the recording studio to play his parts in the recording session because, quote, he wanted to go fishing. He was also fired shortly after wrecking his DeLorean that he said he was driving the wrong way down an off-ramp. He was trying to get to 1955. Come on. The EMTs basically poured him out of the car.
Ugh.
Ugh. That's gross.
Yeah.
What does that mean, poured him out of the car?
Well, I mean that he was so drunk.
Oh, he just kind of fell out of it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The only reason he survived is likely because he was so drunk and stoned at the time of the crash. All right. Gene basically said, quote, if you can't be any good for yourself, you are no good for the band. Please get your life together. Thanks for your time. Love the show. Ray B.
If you can't be any good for yourself, you're no good for the band.
See you later, Ace. You can still come to the softball games. I assume they played against other bands in their softball tournaments.
Yeah, it was like it was Kiss versus I'm trying to think
Old
of
Town
who
Tavern.
They would have played against at the time.
It was Old Town Tavern against Gary and his guys.
Right.
Every time.
The Stooges are
I love that. The Ramones.
Sweet.
Oh, they're always cheating. Their first baseman's a ringer. I would love the idea of bands having softball tournaments. That's a great idea. Anyway, there you go. Ray B. shedding some light on the Kiss history. And long live the Fox. Well, he's dead, but I wish he was there still. All right. I think that's everything, dude.
I think that covers it. I think that just about nailed it.
It really did. There. If you'd like to have your own email read on the show, themorningstream@gmail.com is where you can send it. I would like to thank all our patrons at patreon.com/TMS. You guys are incredibly generous and kind. Without you, the show doesn't literally exist. It's not here without you. So please, please, please. Continue to support us if you like the show. And if you never have, consider it patreon.com/TMS. For everything else you may ever need to know, contact, find, or look for, go to frogpants.com/TMS. S. No, there's only one S.
T.
I'm glad that's not our URL. It'd be weird. Brian will now shed a light on song music time. What do you got there to get us out?
I am. This one goes out to Scott from Houston. When he's in Slack, he's known as Joe Tech Core. He says, hey, guys, after the discussion with Jury about not knowing who Howard Jones was and a brief discussion in the Slack where it seems that no one under the age of 35 knew him either, I thought we needed to educate people. Howard Jones was part of the soundtrack to my teenage years. His Action Replay album was probably the last thing I ever bought on vinyl, and I'm sure I wore the needle down playing the extended version of Hide and Seek over and over again. Oh, preach, brother. I still have it over in the other side of the basement here.
Nice.
Love that. He does not deserve to be forgotten, so any good Howard Jones cover would be great. Thanks, signed, Scott from Houston, Joe Techcore in the Slack. So the specific request he had was a cover of No One Is to Blame by Mindy Smith. I was getting some echo.
Oh, weird.
No One Is to Blame by Mindy Smith. This is an indie artist, actually sent me a copy of this song, played it a couple of years ago on Coverville, and happy to play it again. Here's Mindy Smith and her cover of Howard Jones, No One Is to Blame.
You can look at the menu, but you just can't eat. You can feel the cushion, but you can't have a seat. You can dip your foot in the pool, but you can't have a swim. You can feel the punishment, but you can't commit the sin. And you want her, and she wants you. We want everyone. But you just can't live in it. You're the fastest runner, but you're not allowed to win. Some break the rules and live to count the cost. The insecurity is the thing that won't get lost. And you want her, and she wants you. We want everyone. Summit, but you just can't reach it. It's the last piece of a puzzle, but you just can't make it fit. Doctor says you're cured, but you still feel the pain. Aspirations in the clouds, but your hopes go down the drain. And you want her, and she wants you. We want it.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.
The roof is on fire.
That wasn't supposed to play twice.